The Voices Dot Earth podcast series is brought to you by the Dot Earth Domain. In each episode, we shine a light on organizations and individuals who are part of the growing Dot Earth tribe, as well as those outside of our tribe who are all making our planet a better place. In this Voices Dot Earth podcast interview, we are speaking with Jeff Firewalker Schmidt, who's a renowned scientist, folk healer, tabacero, ceremonialist, musician, and he's a walker between worlds. Over the past 25 years, he's given nearly 200 invited presentations, including a TEDx talk and a keynote at the Global Philosophy Forum. And he's here today to talk about WisdomKeepers.Earth. Wisdom Keepers provides a platform at festivals for elders and spiritual leaders from indigenous communities and wisdom traditions to share their stories and techniques and to collectively vision a more conscious, peaceful, and sustainable world. And how awesome is that? Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you?
Matthew, thank you so much for the gracious introduction. I'm great. It's really good to be with you today and your audience.
Well, thanks for joining us, Jeff, and without a doubt, you are one of the most interesting people that we have interviewed. As we mentioned, you're a scientist, a folk healer, a walker between worlds. So before we talk about WisdomKeepers.Earth, tell us more about your background.
Well, that's really gracious of you. I have certainly led a blessed life, and I've been able to essentially hold two very seemingly disparate careers in parallel. One is a scientist and science entrepreneur, and then on the other, a practicing folk healer and practice the ways of the Andes and northern Peruvian curanderismo. And my endeavor has been to be what is referred to in the Andes as a chacaruna, a bridge person, to help foster understanding between communities and to help in whatever small way I can be responsive to the very critical juncture that we find ourselves on in the planet right now.
That's amazing. You know, I discussed this in a previous podcast. It seems that more people are seeking out enlightenment, wisdom these days, whether it's through meditation, yoga, and other practices. Since you're really educated in this specialized arena, are you seeing this being the case as well?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, I think what people, there are a number of, I think, sources of this impulse to make a return to wisdom traditions and teachings. On the one hand, I think people understand that the current way that we're living, especially in the industrialized world, is not working in many ways for us spiritually, for the earth physically, for us socially, and something needs to change, and we can't rely on solutions sourced from the current paradigm to create the shift. So there's that piece. And I think another dimension of this also is that there is a very deep yearning and hunger among people that are in the industrialized world for the old ways of being. You know, we are conditioned in our cultural milieu, and it's really, really hard to understand if, you know, at the cognitive level of cognitive perception, just how different we are living than our ancestors have lived and related to each other and the earth. You know, I like saying that basically the way that we are living in the industrialized world right now is like a freak show. It is so radically different, at least according to the historical record, than people have lived on the planet before. There is a deep hunger in people to make a return to a way of being, believing, interrelating, that doesn't put a hard divide between that which is mundane and that which is sacred. We're not taught by and large in our families. We're not taught by and large in our religious organizations. We're not taught by and large in our schools and educational system about how to cultivate an inner life in a really authentic way, in a way that doesn't put a separation between spiritual development and healing. You know, one of the great things that wisdom traditions posit is that you can't make a distinction between those two things, that healing and spiritual practice go hand in hand. And I think that that's part of the yearning too, is that we collectively and individually have a huge and urgent healing opportunity in front of us.
That's amazing. This is a really good transition to talking about, you know, Wisdom Keepers. You know, when I first checked out the site, I thought this is really, really cool. And it seems like a lot of what you do is kind of bridging that gap at festivals, which seems like the prime audience of, you know, mostly young, enlightened or wannabe enlightened people. So tell us more about Wisdom Keepers.
Yes, that was the original impulse. Ben Christie, my dear friend and colleague, he's a luminary social activist and social entrepreneur in the UK, created this with the idea of getting in front of as many people at once as possible, giving them the opportunity to taste and to feel the essence of what so many of them are yearning for, and that is ceremony, prayer, collective visualization. You know, what it is an amazing thing. I mean, at Glastonbury this year, we stood up in front of tens of thousands of people and laid down collective visualizations about the restoration of peace and health on this earth. And when you do that, people are transformed and they feel it. So, you know, many wisdom traditions around the world, the deepest thread of understanding into the spirit world about where we sit right now, I'm thinking the Kogi, the Hopi, you know, basically say we don't have that much time to catalyze a shift in consciousness. And that shift in consciousness isn't going to come from a new technical innovation. There is, you know, one of the things that events and programs like the Wisdom Keepers do is provide a foil to the deep vein of scientism that exists in our culture. Most people think that, oh, only if there's a new invention, only if there's a new, you know, technology to clean up the oceans or to scrub CO2 out of the atmosphere, then we'll all be fine. But I think that people are beginning to realize that it's not that simple. In order to solve, sociologists call it, the wicked problems that are in front of us, we need a different state of consciousness, a different way of relating and interacting and understanding the world, a different and more coherent cosmology. So Wisdom Keepers, if you will, is one of the many ways that people like Ben Christie and myself are creating gateways, introductions, ways for people to find their way to a more deep and authentic experience, a more deep and authentic way of understanding themselves and their relationship to the world, so we can turn this tanker around and move to a place of balance and restoration.
Yeah, wow, that's really cool. You know, question, when you're at these events like Glastonbury, after you do, I guess, kind of like your performances and Bridging the Gap, I'm sure you talk to festival goers when you're there. What's the response when you all are there?
Well, the format is essentially that we have an encampment where we hold a sacred fire and hold events and workshops and ceremonies. And so there's a, you know, sort of a natural draw, and we make ourselves, you know, really available to anyone who wants to, you know, hang with us and share and talk. And the feedback that we got from Glastonbury old timers, you know, we know, you know, Glastonbury is the, you know, I think it's the oldest constantly running music festival in the world. Their 50th anniversary is next year. What we heard was from the old timers was that there was a palpable shift in the energy of the festival this year. It was, you know, people felt a deeper sense of peace and cohesion, a deeper sense of groove, if you will, between the festival goers. And the feedback we got from individuals as they came and learned about what we were representing, what we were doing, what we were sharing was just absolutely positive. Now, of course, you know, some people don't go to festivals for this sort of experience. So, you know, of course, we had to, you know, on occasion invite people that were wanting to drink beers at our sacred fire to go to the neighboring fire circle. And sometimes that ruffled feathers, but in the scheme of things, the overall response was extremely, extremely positive.
That's great. That's great. So in terms of Wisdom Keepers and its efforts, what's the future vision for this effort?
Well, what we would like to do is create a shareable, extensible template for others to participate in this, and for every sizable festival in the world eventually to have this sort of component, so that festivals not only serve to nourish people in terms of entertainment and artistic inspiration, but also in the sacred. You know, I hate to say it, but it's one of the most efficient ways to deliver this message and deliver this experience to really large numbers of people. So We are presently working on a documentary. We're very, very fortunate to have Jeremy Wheelhan with Treetops Productions, with the Wisdom Keepers, both at Glastonbury and on the pilgrimage that we did across England this summer. So he is producing a documentary that describes what we are up to and our vision, and I'm hoping that that will serve as a sort of a catalyst to enable us to continue doing this work. You know, there's also, when you bring people from around the world together like this that are extremely, extremely motivated and aspirational and creative, a lot of new relationships get sparked, a lot of new collaborations get set up. So, you know, I'm in the middle of, you know, numerous other projects that sort of came about as a result of the Wisdom Keepers coming to Glastonbury. I think we have a really positive future ahead.
That's great. And, you know, what role does the concept of Earth play, I guess, for you and everything that you do, and also for Wisdom Keepers?
Well, that's a really great question. That's why I really appreciate the work that you're doing around the Dot Earth moniker. I think that, you know, that emblematically, whatever we can do to remind people that the divisions that we, and especially in the industrialized world and the modern age, have tended to place between self and nature, that those are absolutely artificial. You know, where you begin or where you end and nature begins, is the answer to that question is dependent on the context and the inquiry. You know, we are absolutely and completely intertwined with nature. We are intertwined at the microbiological level, at the macroscopic level. It's really remarkable when you think about the dissipative exchange that we have with the environment. I mean, we exchange practically, outside of bone, practically all of the atoms and molecules in our bodies on a fairly regular basis. And what was our body 2 months ago might be snow on the top of Mount Fuji. So the use, the enlightened use of emblems, of reminders that we are deeply and inextricably part of the web of life is so critical right now, because everything in industrial capitalism in the modern age tells us otherwise. And that has been a very damaging thing to us spiritually, emotionally, and socially and environmentally.
Yeah, wow, that's great insights there, Jeff. Thank you for that. And I know we've covered off on a lot today, but I'm sure there's much more we could talk about. This is such an awesome topic, but is there anything else to add today? Anything we may have missed?
Well, I think the call is to action. One of the things that we carry as Wisdom Keepers, at least I hope we carry and share, is that the way that most people think about activism has to change. You know, one of the brilliant things about, you know, sort of being tangentially involved and witness to the blossoming of Extinction Rebellion is that in many cases it's been a demonstration that prayerful, intentional, peaceful gathering, bringing together people that have a shared vision of a better Earth, of ending the next mass extinction, is actually more powerful if the people are coming from a place of prayer, reverence, and awe than from a place of anger and divisiveness. So one of the things that every single Wisdom Keeper among us, and you're a Wisdom Keeper too, we understand, is that if your fuel for change making is sourcing from an unresolved personal wound or from anger, from divisiveness, your intention is going to not only is going to fall short of its full potential, and the consequences may be just as negative as they may seem positive. So, you know, the urging, the prayer that I have for your audience, for everyone, is that we really think and reflect deeply on where our fuel and our motivation comes from. This is where that intersection that I spoke of earlier, that connects healing to spirituality, comes into play. We can't separate our aspiration from these two things either, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. What a perfect way to end this podcast interview. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Voices.Earth interview with Jeff Firewalker Schmidt, who is a renowned scientist, folk healer, tabacero, ceremonialist, musician, and he's a walker between worlds. And he was kind enough to share his insights today about WisdomKeepers.Earth. Again, Wisdom Keepers provides a platform at festivals for elders and spiritual leaders from indigenous communities and wisdom traditions to share their stories and techniques and to collectively vision a more conscious, peaceful, and sustainable world. And Jeff, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, it was my great pleasure, Matthew, and I wish everyone well and peaceful journeys.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this segment. .Earth is a real live internet domain that anyone can use. Listeners can go to our Voices.Earth site to find out what others are doing with their unique .Earth domains. Through Voices.Earth, you can also secure your own .Earth domain name through all major registrars.